How do you do? Come with us now to meet a most unusual young woman. In her teens, she made some of the world's major problems her problems. She went the revolutionary route in search of solutions for both the world and for herself. Disappointment followed, and then she found fulfillment after her heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true life stories of real people. It's now almost 99 years since the doors first opened and the old lighthouse began offering help to the men and women of Chicago's streets. Help today includes food, clothing, lodging, and medical and dental care, and all are free. There's counsel, too, given with the aim that empty lives may be filled to overflowing. It's now almost 26 years since the first Unshackled program was broadcast on a single Chicago station. Since then, the program has been reaching out around the earth. Now it's heard in almost every nation and is translated and re-dramatized in other languages by nationals. It's heard in prisons and hospitals and aboard ships at sea and has brought responses from pilots of private aircraft. All of this growth has come to be as some listening have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. The appeal of revolutionary sentiment seems to run like clothing styles in cycles. We had the radicalism of the 1930s, much of it built on the foundation stones of depression and the threat of fascism. 30 years later, in the mid-60s, another generation discovered the appeal of the new left. And along with it came the drug culture, the big dropout, and glorification of the words love and concern. And with all this talk of love, there went a wave of intense hate. It isn't surprising that the movement destroyed many of its followers. This is the story of one who survived, who found what it was she'd been looking for, though not at all in any of the places that she expected it to be. If this is confusing, we'll try to make it plain as we bring you the true story of Cresha Richman, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in Boston in 1949, but when I was still very small, my parents moved to the Pacific Northwest. I was 12 when we settled in Seattle. I was a good student with an active mind. In high school, I became editor of the school paper. Also, I took an interest in questions of civil rights. All of these things were received very well at home.
Everyone should take an active part in civic affairs. When people of intelligence are apathetic, all of society suffers. All that's needed to bring down a nation is for people of goodwill to do nothing.
Is that why you're always working with some kind of civic affairs groups?
Yes, I think I have a certain responsibility. Of course, I enjoy it, too.
You know, until I started looking around at school, I didn't realize how many problems the minority people have. Now that I can see it, and some of the others do, too, we're changing things in school. The minority kids at Garfield are going to have a better shake.
You probably haven't thought of it just this way, honey, but you're a minority kid.
Well, maybe. But with us, it's different.
At the moment, yes. And in this country, yes. But we've been terribly discriminated against in the past.
That'll never happen again.
Well, I hope it won't. But the centuries of trouble have given us qualities that others just don't have. We're strong where others are weak. We're self-disciplined where others are careless. We've learned to develop our intellectual capabilities. You're doing very well in school, which is as it should be. First things first. Right now, your education comes first. Be active in causes, but don't let anything interfere with your education.
Ours was not a religious family in any way that matters. I grew up convinced that there is no God. Still, I was brought up to be very aware of my identity. I graduated from high school 11th in a class of 500. and that was a very respectable offering to the only God I knew, which was education. I went on to the University of Washington in Seattle and began to become an atheist all over again. I think it began to happen to me sooner than it did to some of my friends.
Kresha, it's only 9 o'clock.
So?
Oh, you usually stay with the books till 10 or 11. What's with the news magazine?
I think it's time I kept up with what's going on in the world. This ivory tower business is no good.
This ivory tower business is hard work of getting good grades.
For what?
For what? That from you? It hasn't been very long since you were telling me that knowledge is power.
That isn't what Chairman Mao says.
Don't tell me you've started reading that little red book, too. Those things are all over the campus.
Because they're well worth reading. The thoughts of Chairman Mao seem to cover all that the world needs to know.
Do you know what you just said, if we carry it far enough? If I took you seriously, we'd roll up the Torah and put it into mothballs.
It has its place. It's the written foundation of our culture. Education's another thing, though. I used to think education was God. Now I know it just isn't good enough. If there's such a thing as God, you won't find it in the schools. I felt there had to be something better to do in life than just gather an education. My old interest in civil rights revived, and I involved myself with several organizations. That sort of thing always provides a great deal of activity. When it comes to results, though, there can be disappointment.
So the revolution isn't here yet. And you've been working for 6 months to get it going. You know, there was a woman who spent her whole life working to make a revolution and never did see it happen.
Who was that?
They called her Mother Bloor.
See what I mean? Society doesn't change fast enough. If a change is a good one, it ought to happen now. When it doesn't, I begin to worry that it's my fault. I just haven't done enough.
So, you want to be the Betsy Ross of the new American Revolution.
That's another thing. Betsy Ross. A sexist picture of the little woman busy with a needle and a thimble while big, bright, superior men fight for freedom.
I knew you were into women's lib, but I sure didn't realize how far it had gone.
Not nearly far enough. Not nearly. Down with those pigs. I mean, pigs in uniform, and pigs in politics, and pigs in the educational establishment, and especially down with male chauvinist pigs. There must have been a good many others who felt things weren't moving fast enough. Soon they began to draw together to form a new organization, and I was among them.
So, do you have a name for this thing?
We certainly do. Students for a Democratic Society. From now on, things are going to happen. You watch. SDS is going to change lives. Mine and yours and everybody else's. Within a very short time, the organization began splitting into factions. With my restlessness about lack of accomplishment, I was attracted to the most violent group.
What was that you just said? I think I have missed part of it.
I said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
And which way is that?
Terror. We'll shake the system until it falls, like a rotten apple. From now on, the whole movement goes into a new phase. The new phase at that time was what you might call lightweight terror. Lightweight or not, it got me into a lot of trouble with the law.
Well, it's nice to know a celebrity.
What's that supposed to mean?
I see you got your name into the paper for shoplifting.
So? The system rips us off, we rip off the system.
For one can of spray paint?
That can of spray paint had a job to do, and it's a job that will still be done. You wait and see. At that time, I didn't realize how hate-filled I was getting to be. The people around me knew and found themselves uncomfortable with me. More and more I was alienated, not only from society, but from old friends. All my associations were with people driven by the same hate I was.
Hey, here's your can of spray paint, Kresh.
Thanks, Norm. You didn't pay for it, did you?
Oh, of course not. That would be a very retrograde thing to do. You know? Now, the pig who owns that store is going to have a little inventory problem in the spray paint department.
Is today still the day for the demonstration?
Yeah, right. Now, if we play it the way we plan, Maybe that demonstration can turn into a riot. See, what we're going to do is move across the campus as fast as we can, make as much of a disturbance as we can, and then try to attract as many more people as possible. Then when we get to the ROTC building, you and the others with the paint cans can get busy.
Huh? I'm ready.
Yeah, you sure? Have you decided what you're going to write on the walls?
Off the pigs, for one.
Hey, that's a good one. Use it. Use it. But remember that we can do a lot of things to rattle an obscene society by using what the pigs think are obscene words. The more we shock them, the better, right? So use plenty of four-letter words and spray them on in big letters, 2 feet high.
I was arrested twice in addition to the bust for trying to steal the paint can. Once was on 2 counts of destroying property, and once was for disturbing the peace. This period of my life was a strange one. Hate grew in me like some kind of jungle plant.
Kresha, I can understand you're taking an interest in current problems,
Current problems? You sound like the chairperson at a meeting of the Do-Gooders Association of Seattle.
I thought that's what you were interested in, honey, doing good.
No, I'm not interested in doing good, not the way you and the pig people mean it. When you've got a diseased society, the only thing to do is to burn it to the ground.
Do you realize you'll also be burning down your family, your father's profession, and a great many other things that are very important?
I couldn't care less. Chairman Mao is right. Power grows from the muzzle of a gun. Hate is a thing that feeds on the one who harbors it. Hate long enough, hate strong enough, and hate will eat you up. I found that I was totally filled with hate. I hated school so much that I dropped out. I hated old friends so much that I stopped seeing them. I hated the establishment so much that I was alienated from my family. Then I did the only thing possible if I was to keep any of my sanity. I dropped out of the organization and dropped into something else. It was my brother who introduced me to it.
Anybody who sticks to pot when there's hash to be had has got to be some kind of a crazy.
I'm beginning to see what you mean. On this, I think I can hallucinate real good.
Wait until you drop acid for the first time. A honeymoon trip is something else.
This is better than hating, or running around and yelling, or pulling down the system. No, I don't have to pull it down. It just goes away. That was the beginning of what I now think of as the lowest 2 years of my life. It was a time of wandering from place to place, drifting from one commune to another, living in degenerate situations, feeling like a failure, and then of being so stoned that there wasn't much real feeling of any kind. And it was at that low point of that low time that something unexpected began to happen.
In a moment, you'll learn about that strange, confused time and what came of it. Now, though, here's Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission. Recently, Harry, we spoke of some of the major services provided by the old lighthouse, ways in which help is given to the people of the street.
Food, clothing, lodging, and medical and dental care.
Right, but there are others. These are less conspicuous, but they are also very important.
We try to help people to find work, for one thing.
With what success?
Well, last year, time of high unemployment, we secured almost 2,000 jobs. Then there is home and family visitation, especially in the case of families who have stayed in our Women's and Children's Division. We like to follow up and help them to continue with the progress they've made after they leave us.
How many such follow-up calls are made?
Last year, more than 700. Then we also assist in some police and court cases.
To what extent?
More than 150 in the course of the year.
I know that there is a correspondence course based on the Gospel of John. How large a ministry is it?
More than 8,000 people received the home study course in 1975.
And all of these ministries are in addition to food, clothing, shelter, and medical and dental care.
Yes, indeed. But all are secondary to the basic ministry, which is that of leading men, women, and children to trust in Christ. Almost 2,000 professed Christ as Lord and Savior last year.
Friend, if you'd like to know more about the old lighthouse and what it does, address Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. In Europe, address unshackled in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. In the Philippines, address unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila.
During the 2 years of wandering, usually with my brother, I used just about every drug there is, except heroin. I was often confused and always dirty and depressed.
What's the problem? Heart crash?
I'm not accomplishing anything.
Well, like what?
The world's in trouble, and what am I doing about it? Nothing.
You think you can change it?
At least before I was trying. Now I'm some kind of vegetable. I don't like being a failure. In those days, I was doing babysitting, which brought in about $100 a month. Dan and I were living in an old house. One day I'd been dropping acid. Dan was in his room painting the walls, and I went in to see how it looked.
Pretty great, isn't it?
Am I seeing what you've painted, or is this just part of the trip?
That's all right there on the wall. Do you get the symbolism?
No.
What do you know about the Wheel of Life?
Stop the world, I want to get off.
That's it. That's pretty much the meaning of it. To attain and so find release from the wheel.
What does that mean?
I'll give you some stuff to read. And maybe you'll get to understand why I'm putting these designs on the wall.
Couldn't you just tell me?
Oh, yeah, I can. It's this. I'm getting some kind of idea about God.
Oh, LSD must have softened your brain.
Why?
There is no God. We both know that.
Well, how do you know? God may be everywhere. Cleave the wood and I am there. Maybe God is what we think he is. Maybe God is what we're becoming.
Maybe you're losing your mind. I was at a low point in my life, feeling dirty and defeated, and was ready to grasp at anything. And so, slowly, I began getting into Eastern religions. The first thing I tried to do was to meditate. Then I stopped eating meat. At last, I became a member of the Ananda Marga Yoga Society, which provided me with a guru I could venerate. Gradually, also, I began to get off the use of drugs. Back in Seattle, I began to function as a human being again, after a fashion. I was involved in the setting up of a free clinic and worked there as a counselor to the women who came to us for help.
Somebody said women in my condition can get help here?
Somebody told you, right? How far along is it?
Almost 3 months. Can I get help?
Of course. Like any other woman, you have a perfect right to control what happens to your body. Now, let's set down some of the information that will be needed. At that time, my political views were much as they had been, but I had lost my belief in the reality of revolution. I picked up my schooling at the university again with the idea that I would like to become a doctor. That seemed to give some meaning to my life, but I still lacked any real satisfaction. Then, something happened that came as a real shock. He who had once introduced me to the drug scene now came on strong with something new.
Do you know what's happened to me, Kresh?
You look as though you've fallen in love.
Better than that. I found Messiah.
You what?
Well, the same things happened to me that happened to some men in Israel 2,000 years ago.
Oh, you'd better explain.
I'll do better than that. Let me read something to you.
What have you got there?
The Bible.
Now I know you, Flip.
Just listen, that's all. Again the next day, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master.
I know that, silly.
Well, this is the way it reads in the book of John. Rabbi, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ.
Don't tell me you've really gone and blown it by becoming a Christian.
It isn't the way you think, Kresh. There's a better way of saying it. As a believer of Jesus,
I'm a completed Jew.
Believe what you want to believe, but don't try and sell it to me.
There's one thing I wish you'd do before you push it aside.
What's that?
I want you to go to church with me.
Church? Have you lost your mind?
Well, what's wrong with that? I don't understand.
Believe what you want to believe, but when you start going to a Gentile church, you're buddying up to the ones who've persecuted us for 2,000 years.
These people aren't Gentiles.
What?
They're Christians.
There's a difference?
All the difference in the world. And some of them are Hebrew Christians.
Now the English language has lost all meaning. Christian doesn't mean Gentile, and there is such a thing as a Hebrew Christian, and Dr. Doolittle owns a push-me-pull-you.
Kresh, all I can say is the same thing Jesus said to those men who met him near the River Jordan. Come and see.
Well, I began by reading the four Gospels and wasn't too much impressed. They didn't mean too much to me, but I did begin to say the Lord's Prayer before my morning and evening meditations. After all, I was still into Eastern religions. Then, sometime later, I took my brother up on his invitation to go with him to church.
There have been times in history when churches have reflected political inclinations or belonged to some particular racial group or social level. And there have been groups with large and impressive buildings where some people were not welcome because of their color or their language or even their names. But these have little in common with the church, the body of Christ, of which he is the head. It consists of all believers, of all who have been born again through faith in Christ. Now, this congregation is in some ways representative of that fact. I see here faces that tell of origins in all parts of the world. And I know, because I know some of your names, that many religious backgrounds are represented here. And yet we are one. Not because of some human scheme or a political philosophy or edict of government. We are one in Christ, the only begotten Son of God. It is he of whom the Word tells us, "For he is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now, all through the Old Testament, you will find foreshadowings of the coming of Messiah. And Jesus of Nazareth, in great numbers of ways, meets the requirements of those prophetic writings. But his messiahship is best understood by those who place their trust in him as Lord and Savior. And now is your opportunity to receive Christ by faith, and so receive the gift of eternal life.
It suddenly seemed right. Then I found myself responding to that invitation, and I walked away from that building a new creature in Christ. The truth I'd wanted, I'd found in him. The love I felt the world lacked was the love of God expressed in him. As a believer in him, I am truly completed. I'm fulfilled and at peace. Jesus is Messiah. Come and see.
Kresher Richman is now at work with the organization called Jews for Jesus. This has involved very simple office routine on the one hand, and a fascinating career touring the land, with a musical, street play, and witnessing group called the Liberated Wailing Wall. She's an outgoing and very useful person. Crescia's at peace with God, at peace with others, and at peace with herself. And the living Lord, who gave her new life, can do the very same thing for you. If you want to counsel with someone who is deeply concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312, is 922-1462. In Europe, address Unshackled, in care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. In the Philippines, address Unshackled, in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This week, we hope that you'll take time to write and let us know that you hear Unshackled. We also hope that as you listen, you ask others to listen with you. And then while you're in a letter-writing frame of mind, what about a letter to the manager of this radio station? As you write to him, just say, "Thank you very much for Unshackled." Heard in the true story of Crescia Richmond were Nancy Newberry as Crescia, with Edie Howard, Maureen Young, Barry Stigler, and Roger Mueller. Original music, Lucille Becker. Unshackled is produced and transcribed by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. This is Jack O'Dell, and I've written the story as I received it from Crescia. This week, write and tell us about how the program has touched your life or those of the people that you know. Our address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And we want you to know that your letters are far more important than you realize. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462.